Oli, how are you? How you been?
I've been super good, thank you. How are you?
Okay, do you have time for just a short interview or
Of
something?
course, of course.
Okay, man. Well, what a lot going on in the Bilderberg. Have you been following much of it?
Not so much as I normally do. There's been very busy times, but this is a very special meeting. I mean, you and I met at the Bilderberg meeting 2014, remember? And my God,
That's right.
so much has happened since then.
Right. You've gotten known to a lot of predicting a lot of these false flag and these operations. Are you still ongoing with that research?
Yeah, totally. I'm very devoted to do that. And I've recently really made a bit of a breakthrough, I believe. Do you know the shoes that we've been talking about many times?
Yes, you told me about that. What about that? Tell us about that.
The shoes, it might sound strange if you have not heard about it before, but over the years, I've been doing this for some 35 odd years, and I found so many shoes everywhere, you know, when there had been an alleged mass shooting or assassination or alleged terror attacks and so on. There are always these shoes left in many of the images. Most of the time, they're Nike shoes, and very often they're sort of like in the center of the image where they're there, but you're looking at the rest of the photo. You're looking at the victims, you're looking at the blood, you're emotionally sort of like really open because these are horrific events if they are real. But in the background or in the center of these images, very often there are shoes there. So for years I've been tracking down these shoes because it's almost like they're leaving a business card, you know, saying that for the people in the know that, okay, this is our operation. And it's a way of them communicating without any paper trail, no emails that can be tracked or hijacked, no phone calls, no nothing. But more than that, it's also a Freemasonic sign where, especially on the victims, one shoe off, I've been told this from an insider, one shoe off means that the person is doing it voluntarily. That's the same like the Freemasons when they're doing their rituals. One shoe off means voluntarily, and two shoes off means homage to the sacred space where this ritual is being carried out. But it's taken on a whole new level now because I've done quite a few interviews together with CIA whistleblower Cody Snodgrass, and he has been involved during his more than 20 years in Black Ops. He knows a lot about MKUltra and the way people are being broken down and used for as assassins or patsies or whatever. And what he said, because we were talking about these shoes, and he said, I think there's another thing that is going on here. What he mentioned was that when you prepare somebody or when you break someone down in MKUltra procedures to be able to control them, mind control, what you do is these individuals have to go through incredible pain, sexual abuse, torture, all kinds of things that will break down and split up their personalities or their personality into sometimes multiple personalities that can then be activated and so on. But to trigger these other personalities so that they can get into another person where they can control the action of this individual, while they break them down with all of this horrific stuff, they often show them symbols. Like this can be like an upside down dolphin or wave shaped forms or a shoe, for instance. Because he said that once you've broken this person down and you've shown the same symbol every time that they are being sort of tortured or going through all this horrific pain, this symbol acts like a trigger. And then they can use that as a trigger to activate this individual. So through the symbol, he can be totally normal. They show him the symbol, boom, he goes straight into this split personality. So what Cody was suggesting, and I think he's absolutely spot on, is that these shoes are there as a mass hypnosis or mass MKUltra trigger. Because what they've done
Okay.
is they've used every time there is one of these events, they leave the shoes there so that your subconscious, when we're totally open and in fear mode because of all of these alleged horrible events, we are looking at the whole picture, not noticing the shoe, but our subconscious is noticing it. And that, in the end, when this is repeated over time, then in the end, it's enough just to show the shoe, and people will go straight into fear mode. So,
that is ingenious thinking. Yes.
What I've done recently is I collected hundreds of photos of shoes all over the world, because there are so many areas, you know, where these shoes are being used, and what I've done is I found not only where so-called false flag operations have been carried out, sometimes alleged assassinations, they use the trigger there as well. Lots of violent crimes, like now in the UK, there's this whole wave of stabbings, they claim. But I tell you, the more I look into these stabbings, they're just fake. It's just in media to pump up the pressure. And every single time there are photos from the crime scene, it's the shoe, it's the shoe, it's the shoe.
Right, good.
Alleged bus crashes, you know, where they're pushed, they have all of these vehicle attacks and vehicle accidents to get us into the problem reaction solution mode, where we will start seeing the vehicle as the problem. And then the solution would be driverless vehicles. That's the agenda they're really pushing now. And then the next step with that would be smart cities, where everything is digitally controlled. So it's stepping stones, one step closer, closer, closer. But I found these images from like Somalia, Kenya, Nigeria, Yemen, Thailand, the Philippines, Turkey, France, all the European NATO countries, the US, Mexico, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, the exact photos where, for instance, it said that there was a suicide bomber, but the photo is just of a heap of shoes and then some blood in the background. And they're almost identical, these photos, from all over the world. So I ask you, is that possible from a terrorist organization that they can control media in the West? I would say absolutely not. Is it possible that a lone crazy individual that freaks out and do a mass shooting in the US, that he can control, that the media in the West are pumping out the exact same photos of shoes? I think not. So I think what I believe that I cracked here is that the shoe is an incredible connecting dot between so many different operations, but carried out by the same force and using the same psyop to push the masses into fear mode, where we will let ourselves be controlled.
Okay. Do you think the controllers on the operations are either wearing a pair of those shoes that the victim or the controlled has been conditioned to, and or they pull one out of their pocket and show it to them and put them into this alter personality or something like that? You think it's something like that?
I'm not really sure. What I think is that you have to see who's taking the photos, because that individual is the one choosing what he's aiming the camera at.
And oh, I see. I got you. So they're putting a shoe down there, maybe, yep, taking a photograph.
And very often it's Associated Press, it's Reuters as well. But you have to also see who, as an editor for a big channel like CNN or Fox TV or BBC, these big channels, why on earth would they choose shoes as the main image if they didn't know what was going on, if they weren't involved in the same agenda? Because very often the photo, the main image of CNN newscast or whatever, is the shoe. It's just a shoe. And I mean, if there's any kind of normal logic, and I mean, I used to be a press photographer when I worked as a journalist. I mean, if I came back from an accident or a crime site with photos of a shoe that had nothing to do with the crime, I would get my butt fired, because the editor would just say, why the hell did you focus on a shoe? It makes no sense. But once you start seeing how this one is used, then it makes total sense. And so the question is, are these operations real? Many of these suicide attacks in Yemen, Kenya, Syria, so many countries, many of them are false flags. And so I would suggest that we have the setup of a global tour of terror, like a theater group consisting of directors, crisis actors, experts in makeup, smoke bombs, explosives, military experts, marketing agents, makeup, catering, and so on, in one group that is like a mobile unit being transported around the world, circulating, going from NATO country to NATO country, or countries that are connected to these operations, and carrying it out, meaning that it's the same exact people that are running around in Melbourne in SWAT team uniforms or ambulance, look like ambulance
Right.
drivers or firefighters, that in New York or London or Stockholm or Berlin or Paris, it's the same individuals going for the same agenda, carrying out the just like a rock group on tour, doing the exact same show, but in country and country and country, being transported in, as far as I've been able to find out, the big military planes like C-130s, landing on NATO air bases or American air bases, then being transported on location in buses, where they then do the drill. That is a rehearsal as well, the day before. Also, it's during the drill that a lot of the high quality photos are taken by professional photographers. We're back to Associated Press and Reuters again, where they make sure that they have these horrific images of terror that can then be pumped out on the day when they go live. So I would suggest that in this traveling tour of terror, this sort of on the road terror group, that there will be photographers as well, that their job
Right.
is to take photos of these alleged suicide bombers or alleged terror attacks, but to make sure that the trigger is there in many of the main photos. Because you can have like the bombing in at the airport in Ankara in Turkey, for instance. You have half of the image is of a Nike trainer, and then you got flowers and the airport in the background, faded or and not even it's blurred. The focus is on the shoe, and there are hundreds of these type of photos. Also, many claimed murders, like of the English MP Joe Cox, shoes. That's the only thing from the crime scene, the shoe. You have even murders, or I'm doubting sometimes if they're real murders or if they're coordinated hits. You know, the Versace, Gianni Versace, the fashion mogul, he got assassinated, and the only photos from the crime scene are the blood and a sandal, which is exactly the way they do this. Blood and a shoe, blood and a shoe, blood and a shoe. You got the mass shooting at the Aurora Theater, the Batman shooting, what was left there,
Right.
the AR-15 and sandals next to it, and blood, the shoes again. You got the Columbine, what was there, weapons and a shoe and blood. You got the
My
Parkland.
God, you're onto something. Oh, that's quite a discovery.
I think it's massive. I really think it's massive.
I think it is.
I prepared a whole long line of interviews here the next coming a few upcoming days here, where I prepared a PowerPoint presentation with more than 100 slides, and there's like two, three images on each. So we're talking about like 200, 300, 400 images of these exact same
Are you there?
shoes.
Okay.
So,
You sort of dropped that on me a second there. You know, I went back when we first discussed this a few months ago. I've forgotten when. I went back and did a little research And I thought that the not only what you're saying is quite insightful, but going back to Hebrew times, the shoe represented a confirmation of some kind of transaction. Did you ever come up with that?
Yeah, of course. And also, the shoes have been very symbolic in history. And if you look at the in the Holocaust, where what is the symbol of all of these alleged victims from the death camps? The big heaps of shoes, big right. mountains of shoes. So I think this is where they started using it on a bigger scale from the Holocaust and onwards. You also have in the Balkan War, you got mountains of shoes. Also, all of these, now the shoe has become a symbol for the gun control agenda in the US, where the shoe is like a campaign where they put out thousands of pairs of shoes in front of the White House, the Capitol, in other cities around the world. So the shoe has become sort of like a symbol of death. It's also used in Mexico for all the missing people that have been killed by drug cartels, or is claimed to have been used killed. You also have all of these people that disappear from national parks and so on in the U.S., which I believe, the more I look into it, it seems like a lot of these people are being abducted and then transported into the human trafficking, sexual abuse, all of these horrific things. But many, many times, somebody disappears, but the shoes are left. The shoes are still on site. They're nicely put, and the person has disappeared. We're talking like hundreds of cases. So the shoe is very, very important as a connecting dot to their agenda. And I was on a conference yesterday via Skype in New York called the Dark Conference, and Barbara Honegger was on it, and she sent me a pair of her slippers where she wrote, you know, let's get back to them. She said, "We know who you are," she wrote on her slippers, "and we're not afraid of you." And she said, let's turn this around and maybe put all of these messages on our own shoes and take photos of them, and then diffuse this system they have and break the spell of fear.
Well, that's a good idea. Yeah. Because it's inducing into the viewer a state of anxiety, fear, and so forth, isn't it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, big time, big time. And I tell you, when you start seeing, when you see the PowerPoint, I'm going to be on Alfred Labermont's show, Caravan to Midnight, Jim Fetzer, Jason Goodman's show, and so on, with the same presentation the next few days here.
Okay.
When you see the images, I mean, it's mind-blowing. I tell you, it's like this, it's the same image, but from all these different countries, all of these different attacks that officially has nothing to do with each other, all of these different assassinations, claimed violent crimes. There's so many of these crimes that are not real. I've been in contact with an American police officer who's a veteran for some 20 odd years. I've been in contact with police officers in Sweden, and both of these individuals have looked into the crime statistics. And a lot of these crimes that we, you know, you read the newspaper and, oh, there's another one killed over there and somebody was raped there and there was a shooting over there. We just flick the pages in the newspaper, not really taking the time to look into it. But these individuals have started tracking down, did this actually happen? And many, many, many times they come up with the same result. It's just fake news. It's not real, but it's there to put the fear and keep us in fear mode, keep us in the illusion of us living in a horrific, so violent, so criminal, and so dangerous place, when actually, when you look out through the window, we live in a beautiful, beautiful world.
You know, boy, that is great. Now, one of the things at the Bilderberg meeting number 11 was the post-truth world. Is this what they want to build us? Is that a virtual reality sort of thing to think?
I have no idea. What I know is that the only way they can control us is through fear. That's the only weapon they have against us is fear.
Right.
Because that's why they keep pumping us with all this crap to keep us low in frequency, to keep us down, shaking, fearful, with our head down in the mud, so they can just put a boot on top of it and control us. So, because if we're not fearful and we start seeing what's going on, it's very clear that the so-called they behind these dark agendas are just a few thousand. They're like, some people claim 8,500 or something. We are billions. So it's an absolute joke that we are in this situation. And the reason why they're speeding everything up now is, I think, that they're getting very freaked out, that they're panicking now, because they know it's just a matter of time. The fog is lifting and more people are seeing clearly what's going on. And there are so few. It's ridiculous. And most of them are old guys that have no skills except being horrific individuals that can betray and kill you and stab you in the back and so on. So when we take back our power, when we stop being fearful and just saying, hang on, this is kind of ridiculous, especially once I start seeing that all of this terror is just not true. All of these horrific things that ISIS is said to have carried out, and it's actually inside jobs from the US and Israel, funded by Saudi. ISIS doesn't exist as a terror organization as such. It's just a constructed boogeyman to keep us in fear. And all of these alleged terror attacks on airports and train stations that have made it necessary, according to them, that we have all of this control mechanism with body scanners, back scanners, cameras everywhere for our protection, is just based on absolute lies. 9/11, all of these wars based on absolute lies. No, not a single word of truth behind these wars. Nothing. It's just the greed of this small little group. So much mayhem. So many of these dark agendas are connected to the same head of the octopus, and it's controlled by so few people. Somebody said that it's like, when you look at it in proportions, it's like a grain of sand on a whole beach. That is how big they are compared to how many we are. So it's a joke. And the way I feel is like, my task is to help break the spell. Just like if a magician is showing you this incredible trick and it's like, simsalabim, and boom, out comes a rabbit out of nowhere or whatever. And you think, oh my God, that's magic. He's so powerful. But then the more you see this trick and you start looking from all different directions, you come to a point where suddenly you see it. Oh my God, he's doing it behind his back with his right hand, not his left hand. That's how it's done. And in the second you see how the trick is done, boom, the spell is broken and you won't buy into it anymore. And this is where they have us in this fear spell, where we sort of like in a sleeping state of terror, many of us, where I say, snap out of it. See it? This is what they're doing to us. This is how they've done it. This is the template. These are the things involved. Once you start seeing how the pie is made, oh, it starts to smell, and boom, there it is. They did it again, they did it again, they did it again, and they did it again. So once you start seeing how it's done, it becomes a joke, and we can start seeing ourselves as free individuals, taking back the power, and said, the next time you try and pull one of these on me, I will very happily give you the finger and say, if you want to go and do whatever war or whatever, you go. You send your kids or whatever. You go fight these people. Don't think that you can do this with me. And by the way, all of the debt that you've created out of thin air, who have been put us in slavery, it's time for us to wake up. Wake up and get out of it. Just say, enough is enough. They can only do it with our consent. This is the thing. So I would suggest everyone.
The way I've looked at it over the years is from a word. The word I use is deluded. We're deluded or we're in a delusion. And we're in the delusion because the information that we're being provided, like you're saying, through these virtual, you know, false, see. But it creates fears, and in this fear state, we begin to blame ourselves and others, and hate and resentment resides in everywhere, in everyone.
And so what I find
what
really...
That fear, you know, and all this, what you're talking about, the delusion is maintained by hate and resentment, but it's a deluded false self that is being deluded, not your core real self, which is conscience-based. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I totally agree. But the thing is for us to just study what is the grip they have? How have they got us around the balls? In what way are they controlling us? They want us hateful. I say, okay, that's what they want. Yeah. Let's go the exact opposite. Let's become loving.
That's it.
They want divide and conquer.
So forgiveness. Yeah, forgiveness is the way out of this, Oli. That's where I'm talking about.
So am I. That, I tell you, I can.
I know, because we had a meeting of the minds up in Copenhagen, didn't we?
Yeah.
I mean, the hearts, the souls, and minds came together. Me and you, we understand, right?
That's why it's beautiful to be on your show as well, because the thing is, what I'm spending so much time in, I mean, it's dead boring. It's the same. But apparently, I have to keep doing it and repeating it to sort of slowly reaching more and more people into saying, wake up, my friend, wakey, this is what's going on here. Because more and more people, I mean, it's exploding, I think, almost the awakening. Is going on, but
it is. You're doing a good job at this too, because you're explaining it in very, very concrete terms of what's going on. Very insightful. And this this shoe thing is quite, that's momentous, I think.
I think so too. I think this is big. I think this shoe is a big one. And once we take these things away from them, you know, they have very little. They have very little way of doing it to us. Also, I'm exposing the color codes they're using. There's a lot of these type of things also as a secret communication system, and also part of how these operations are controlled and so on. Very few tools that they have against us or weapons. So once you start seeing how it's done, the template that are being used, they got so little. They got so little. And also, when they say boo and we don't get afraid anymore, it's game over.
Yeah, you quit participating, don't you? Isn't that it?
That's it.
Yeah, you got to quit participating in their system. Huh?
And this is why it's so important. And I try to reach as many as possible and just say, please look at your life, whoever is listening. Are you... or I, in any way or form, part of this very brutal death machine that is destroying the world? What am I doing? What am I doing for a living? What is the company I'm working for? What is the agenda of the company? Am I sort of an electrician? Yeah, that's great. But if you're installing electricity in FEMA camps or whatever, not good. If you're in Homeland Security, great, but not because it's totally working for the wrong force. The same in FBI, CIA. I mean, I'm sure that there's good people in there, but there sure is a lot of bad eggs that are doing horrific stuff to the rest of us. Whatever it is, if you are the inventor of CCTV or cameras that are being used to control us, stop it. Get out. Start sabotaging, I would almost say. You know, if you're part of creating computer systems that is there to control us, not to help us, then stop it. Get your part. That you have to understand that the people behind the agenda are so few. They are so few, and they are not very creative. They're very cunning, and very sinister, but they are not very creative. They can copy, but they are not very good at creating. That is at least my experience. So they need us to do it for them. So we are actually the ones who are controlling ourselves. We are the one who are killing each other in these wars. They can't
Right.
do it. They can only say, they can give the order and look powerful because they've got a nice suit and a BMW and bodyguards, but that is not real power. I mean, that's...
I created something called AAA years ago, Actions Alone Anonymous.
Actions.
That's a way to break their systems.
I love
Actions
that.
Alone Anonymous. You say it. You can say it either way, any three ways. It says the same thing. It means people taking and doing actions by themselves and telling no one about it.
Love it, love it, love it. I've got another thing for you.
Yeah, there's another thing I wanted. That just came into my mind too. Timothy Leary pioneered in the 50s at Harvard in what he called a personality, deep personality research. His findings and research were used by the CIA to recruit people, okay? Now, he had what he called the circle. The circle consisted of colors and quadrants and so forth and personality traits. Look into that. That will help you on your color thing.
Thank you. Yeah, I will do that. I have another AA for
you. Yeah, go ahead.
It's in the yoga philosophy. They say accept, adjust, accommodate.
Okay. Oh, well, that's three A's too, isn't it?
Huh? I know. That's why I'm telling you. So we can,
we
can put together six A's if you want.
Off, don't we?
We can put six A's together.
Yeah, six A's. We can have a monkey jumping up and down and saying, hey. Yeah. Boy, that's great. Well, Ole, you're pioneering in so many new things. That's great.
I do my utmost, I tell you. I really do.
Well, we're working hard, too.
Yeah.
I tell you. Well, okie dokie.
You have a great one and talk to you soon. I just want to say that today is the end of the Bilderberg meeting, and this year they're really, I hope they're freaking out, and that is why they're sort of speeding things up. But it's a combined, it's never happened before, I think, that a G7,
you're doing what again?
The G7 meeting, NATO, as well as Bilderberg at more or less the same time. So... But everything that seems to be there to freak us out is, a good sign, because they're speeding it up because they feel that the awakening is speeding up so fast as well. And George, can I just mention that, are you aware of Sidethorn?
The what now?
Sidethorn.
Not sure, no.
Okay, he's a guy from Texas who I think he was a law of, maybe he was a Texas Ranger or something like that. He was a Marine as well. And he and his partner, who goes under the name Conspiracy Granny, they have for years, every time there's a drill in Texas, they've been driving there and walking around with a cell phone, filming these things. And several times they've been filming actual false flag, the setups, they've been the day after speaking to people about what actually happened. And really, you can see that the people are so uncomfortable because some of them cannot stop laughing when they get direct questions about these alleged terror attacks and so on, because it's an absolute lie that nothing really happened. And
right.
But they become a major threat over the years, and they put a lot of focus in exposing this... Sutherland Spring attack, the Texas Church attack,
right.
or alleged attack, showing that it was the official story doesn't match up at all. And one thing also what Sidethorn has done is that he sold a property a few years ago. So he's got like $100,000 in silver, and he has put that as a reward to anyone that can show real death in, and he's listed more than 30 different of these false flag operations.
Really?
So anyone that can prove,
okay.
And he's spreading this out, he's walking around giving out to police officers that are involved in the investigation. He's doing it to people in the area where these operations are taking place, family members, you name it, he's walking around doing this whole thing. But recently, I must say, he's a friend of mine. I've never met him, but I've been in contact with him for years. I don't approve of his
okay.
of his language. He's got quite a foul mouth, but I mean, who can blame him
okay.
facing these individuals? And
right.
now recently, he was lured into an ambush by a magazine called Vice, which I can guarantee you that is backed up by intelligence agencies. That is not just any magazine.
Yeah, I've heard bad things too.
Oof, yeah. They try to get me as well. And I warned Saitson because he was asked to come for an interview to do a documentary, and they set him totally up. And then he got arrested. And now they're arrested the conspiracy granny as well. And they're facing 30 years in prison. And his partner, they've done nothing really. I mean, they had Mariana. He had his father's gun in his garage, I think.
Right.
And otherwise than that, the thing, the accusation is that he's made terrorist threats. But, I mean, he's just said to people it was the preacher in Sutherland Springs that he said, that, you know, one day when all of this comes out, you will hang. You will be hanged. You know, because you are a traitor and so on. This is the type of things he said. And so he's been arrested.
Okay.
And he's facing 30 years now. And his partner, Jody Mann, her name is, she's arrested as well. Now she's been, I think she's been transported to a mental institution for 3 months. And after that, she's facing possibly 20 years in prison. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, there is a platform called 153news.net, and
right.
it's like an alternative to YouTube that is so controlled at the moment, just shutting everybody down. And they are very supportive, trying to help Saitson. So everyone who is interested in and understanding what is going on, also understanding that if they go down like this just for saying things and searching the truth, that opens up a door for many of us, you know, that they can
right.
do anything to any one of us. So
right.
please go to 153news.net and see if you can support them
okay.
in any way or form, or spread the
okay.
message as well.
We'll do it.
Excellent, George. Thank Okey you
dokey.
So much.
Thank you, Ole. Okay, good evening. Bye-bye.
You take care.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.